Let's take our Bibles this morning and let's turn to Mark chapter 4 as we continue on in our study in the book of Mark. We're going to be looking at a chunk of scripture again this morning. We're going to be looking at the first 34 verses of Mark chapter 4. We're not going to make it all the way through, most likely, but we'll get a good start on it. Here, Jesus is starting to speak a little bit differently than what he has in the past. As we've looked through the first three chapters, we've seen Jesus talk about the kingdom of God being at hand. So his message is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And now Jesus, as he begins his ministry and really starts to draw these crowds and starts to share the message and start to preach a little bit more, what we see is Jesus using parables to speak that truth. And what the parables do are impact the way people hear the word of God. Now it is those who are on the inside who hear the truth. They are the ones who understand the truth because they know what Jesus is talking about, and they're being challenged by these principles that Jesus is speaking. Those on the outside don't understand. Now, what we see is Jesus being challenged on every level. Every time he speaks, every time he opens his mouth, every time he says anything, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes are there to challenge what he is talking about. So now Jesus changes his way of speaking. And he's going to use parables. Now, the book of Mark only records five parables. Four of them are in these 34 verses. There's another parable in Mark chapter 12. If you look at Matthew and Luke, there are many more parables that Jesus uses. But we remember Mark as being a little bit more concise. He is taking the highlights of Jesus' ministry. And so he doesn't believe that including the parables all the way through his gospel is as essential as the writers of Matthew and Luke. John does not record any parables. There may be one in the book of John, but the majority of what Mark or John is speaking of is just Jesus speaking that truth. What are parables for? What are some of the characteristics of Jesus' parables? And these are important. Jesus' parables have some common characteristics as we look at them. In general, they begin with something that's familiar, like life in Palestine. As we look at the parable of the sower this morning, what people would understand as they are listening to Jesus speak is, yes, we've seen people sowing seed before. We've seen people who are out scattering seed. We know what that is. But then it moves from the familiar to the unfamiliar, conveying truth about God and his kingdom. And finally, the parables move back to the familiar again, implying consequences for the present time. And so there is something that Jesus uses familiar to something that is talking about the kingdom that is unfamiliar, comes back to the familiar, and then challenges. Those who have ears, let them hear. Those who can understand this, understand it and put it into practice. Parables also contain some ambiguous features that require active participation by the listeners. There's something that we need to take with it. Sometimes when we hear stories, we just hear the story and the principle is laid out before us. Sometimes in the parables, it takes some active listening, and it takes some participation on our part to be able to discern exactly what Jesus is talking about. And that's important for us to remember as we read through these parables. But there's always an explicit question that comes, and it's, what do you think? What do you think? How do you take this? How do you interpret this to work in your own life? Or there's an implied question that requires a response of the audience. Jesus is always eliciting a response from the people that are listening to him. Now that you've heard this, do something with it. And as we look at the parable of the sower, we see that in particular. I just read some things as that are important for us also to think about as we look at parables, okay? They're not like normal preaching. So let me just give you seven characteristics here real quick. You don't have to jot them down, but let me give them to you as we think through these parables that we're going to be talking about at least today. Parables provide insight into the nature, coming, growth, and consummation of the kingdom of God. They give us pictures of this kingdom that has come near. When Jesus is speaking, what does he say? Early on, chapter 1, verse 15, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And so now Jesus is going to use parables or these stories, earthly stories with heavenly meanings, as I grew up hearing what parables were, that help us to understand that coming kingdom. Number two, parables are by design provocative and surprising. Number three, parables are used to stimulate thinking and cause the hearer to contemplate what they are hearing. Number four, parables use everyday objects, events, and circumstances to illustrate spiritual truth, usually with a new twist. Number five, parables reveal more truth to those with receptive ears, and they hide truth from others. This is critical to understanding the verses that we're going to be looking at today, verses 4 through 12. Number six, parables make up 35% of Jesus' teachings in the Gospels. Number seven, parables usually, but not always, focus on a single truth. We should not allegorize them, seeking a meaning for every detail. Number eight, sorry, there were eight of these. Parables in the Gospels ultimately draw attention to Jesus as God's Messiah and call us to make a personal decision concerning him. So these stories are not just stories or fables like Aesop's fables that just give us some truth or give us some principle to live by. Jesus is conveying truth about himself and about the kingdom that is coming. And so as we look at these parables, we're challenged by that. And so let's look at the parable, first parable that we have in Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Pastor Jason read this for us already this morning. "Again, he began to teach beside the sea." Okay, this is a practice of Jesus, to go down by the sea. And many times, I know that as we go to the beach, as we go to Ludington, Michigan, the sand dunes are there, and they form a natural amphitheater type setting. If you're down by the water, you can speak up onto the shore and up into the dune. And so maybe where Jesus is right at this point, it's kind of a natural place for Jesus to be able to speak and for everybody to hear him. Now, what we know is that there are great crowds that are following Jesus. Last week, as we looked at the passage in chapter 3, people were coming from every part of Palestine. They were coming from the north, they were coming from the south, they were coming from the east, they were coming from the west, Jews and Gentiles. Again, a simple glimpse or just a beginning glimpse of the kingdom that is coming together, that every tribe, every nation, every tongue is going to be represented in the kingdom of God. And these people are coming to the shore to hear Jesus speak. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears, let him hear. And so now Jesus gives us this parable of sowing. Now what we know is Jesus goes on to explain that in verses 10 through 20, what this idea of sowing was all about. And it's the development of the kingdom, and it's the beginning of the kingdom, and it's the sowing the seed of the word of God, which is this word of the kingdom. Jesus now is saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Remember John's message, come and be baptized for the remission of sins. But Jesus' message is a little bit different. There is repenting. There is this acknowledgement of sin. There is this issue in our heart. And now Jesus is saying, okay, the word is being spread. The teaching in regard to this, and we'll see this in just a little bit, that the disciples come to him and say, what in the world are you talking about? It's not only the 12 apostles, but it's the whole group. Well, Jesus is talking about this seed that is sown common in that period of time. Now, if we look at sowing, and as we think of planting here in the United States, and Chris and I love to take rides out in the country, especially during planting and harvest time. But you watch these big John Deere tractors or whatever tractor you happen to be enamored with, driving through the fields, and they have planters that are just planting seed perfectly in rows at the proper distance, at the proper depth. Here, what we see is sowing was a little bit different in those fields. The one who was going to plant would just go out into his field and he would scatter the seed. And then eventually they would come and they would till the soil and push the seed down into the ground. And you can see that this wasn't a very effective way of sowing because as Jesus says, and he is saying, and as you know, and as you have seen someone out sowing, you see where the seed falls. It all doesn't fall on good ground. There's some that falls on the path. Maybe the wind blows it a little bit, and the path in between the fields, the seed falls there. As they sow the seed, maybe the wind blows it, and it falls on those rocks that are around the field, because as the farmer plows up the soil, those rocks are there, and they put them over to the side. But some seed falls there. And some seed falls on the other ground where it's on the edges and it doesn't quite get tilled, or the weeds aren't necessarily pulled out or removed from that portion of the field, but some seed falls there. But Jesus says there is the seed that falls on the good ground, that ground that has been tilled, that ground that has been fertilized, that ground that has been made ready to hear the word or to receive the seed. And Jesus goes on to say, as the harvest grows, where we have the good soil, we see that there is an increase. Now, during this period of time, they were hoping for about a 7% increase, a 7% yield. If they had a good year, they were getting 10% yield. But Jesus is saying, here you go. What we're hoping for and what we know is going to happen with this seed that is supernaturally planted 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, here's what the kingdom of God is all about. The kingdom of God is like that sower that is going out and seeding the fields with the truth of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what you're to be about as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. That's what you're going to be doing. That's what your job is going to be as you are laborers in the field. It's spreading the word. And Jesus goes on in this explanation of the parable in verses 10 through 20. Let's look there real quick. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12, okay, so there's more than just the 12, there's more than just the apostles. The apostles were the 12 that Jesus chose last week when he was up on the mountain praying. Those who were going to receive special assignments, these are these disciples, those followers of Jesus that were listening to his teaching. And they asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, that they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." What in the world is Jesus talking about here? He's saying right now the secret of the kingdom of God is being revealed to you. You understand it. You have an open heart. You are ready to receive this message. You have been chosen. You've followed me. You are walking after me. And you now understand the truth. But the parables are so those who have hardened their heart that it just doesn't penetrate. The word doesn't penetrate. Jesus is quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, and verse 12 in particular. And Jesus is saying that the same sun that hardens the clay also melts the wax. I thought that was a great quote. The same sun that hardens the clay melts the wax. And what Jesus is saying, for you, it is open to you, and your hearts are open, and your hearts are ready to receive the word. But those who are hearing it with hardened hearts are becoming more hardened as they are exposed to the word. And we see that as Jesus is teaching, don't we? We saw it in the fact that they no longer were attacking the fact that he was preaching. But now the very miracles that Jesus was doing, those miracles they assigned to Satan, as we saw last week. And so Jesus says their hearts are going to continue to be even more hardened until they come to that point when they open themselves up to the truth and they believe the truth that is being communicated. Verse 13, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable?" Now, here is a common scene, and don't you understand what I'm saying here in relationship to the kingdom? So let me explain it to you so you understand, so that as you use this interpretation and you understand how to interpret these parables, the next parables that you receive, you're going to be able to interpret them correctly, is what Jesus is saying to them. How then will you understand all of the parables? The sower sows the word. So he identifies specifically what the seed is. The seed is the word of God. The truth that God loves all of mankind, and he provides a way of redemption through his son, which is himself at this point. When we come to the table this morning, we are remembering that sacrifice that God made for us. The living word that came, whose body was broken, whose blood was shed to satisfy the wrath of God so that we might have intimate relationship with the God of creation. And so that's what Jesus is saying here. The sower sows the word. And there are ones along the path where the word is sown and they hear. And Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown from them. So this is one of those attacks on the Pharisees again. Here are those that are standing on the outside. Here are the ones that are judging me. Here are the ones that are judging the very words that I am speaking because they're so radically different than their words. And so Jesus is saying those hard hearts, Those ones that are on the path are those where the seed is not going to penetrate. It's coming and it's sitting on the surface, and Satan comes and snatches it away. The birds come, and he relates those birds immediately to Satan. Comes and it takes away the word that has been sown in them. They're not going to hear it. They're not going to understand it. They're not going to want to believe it. And so the disciples readily identify who those people are, because they hear the context. They hear these words that these people are saying. The next one, and these are the ones, and there are ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And then when tribulations or persecutions arise on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Now the disciples recognize those people also. How many people want to follow Jesus when it's easy? How many people say, I am a believer in Jesus Christ until it gets hard? I mean, we're living in a situation right now where that could happen in our country. That we are challenged in our faith. That we are told point blank, you cannot worship Jesus Christ, and are you willing to die for that truth? Think about that. Do we receive it with joy when things are going great? Me and Jesus, man, we're best buddies while things are going well and while I'm being blessed. But as soon as the tribulations come, you know what? I don't need this Christianity stuff. I'm not going to identify with Jesus Christ at this point. I'm not going to say that the Word of God is truth. How many people are being challenged today in America because they say, we believe that homosexuality is wrong because the Bible says so? What happens? What happens to anybody who stands up for the Word of God? They receive it with joy. Then when the tribulation comes because of the Word of God, they fall away because they have no root. You see, the Word of God just hasn't penetrated their heart. Looks good on the outside, but inside there is nothing there. It's a great place to go. It's, you know, great. I can hang out with my friends. You know, we do a lot of cool stuff. You know, whatever reason why people go to church, but man, when the rubber hits the road, meets the road, it just is too tough. And we walk away, and they walk away. Verse 17. And they have no root. And with persecution comes. Let's go down to verse 18. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Pastor Aaron was just talking about that. What are those things in the world that hinder us from truly worshiping God? Truly yielding ourselves completely to His will and His direction. You see, there's these things in the world that come up and they just strangle that truth. The deceitfulness of riches. There's other gods that come in the way of us truly worshiping God. Whether that's job, whether that's money, whether that's house, whether it's family. We put other things in front of God, and that starts to choke out this truth that is in us. So these parable of the soils, there's three that hinder the growth of the kingdom of God within a body, within a community. First of all, it's sin. Then it's the cares of the world and opposition. Those things, as Jesus is talking about, the word of God is sown, but it just doesn't take root. It just doesn't produce fruit. But then, in verse 20, but those that were sown in the good soil are the ones that hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. You see, when the Word of God takes root in our heart, when the Word of God truly transforms us and changes us and helps us to see the truth of the Word of God and the impact and our imperfections and God's goodness and God's grace, and we are willing to submit ourselves to Jesus Christ, and we are willing to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, when that Word takes hold of us, it produces 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. When it's changing our lives, we're ready to spread more seed. When the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God is so rich in our lives, we are ready to sow and say, I've got something that you need to hear. I've got something that's radically transformed my life. Here's how I live in peace in a world that's crazy right now. Here's how I function when things are tough. When I'm having a bad day, when things seem to be going right down the hopper, this is how I function. It is the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God in my life. And I think it's going to help you also. Do you want to hear what God has done in my life and what the truth of the Word of God is? Our church is not going to grow unless this principle is at work. People are not going to walk into our church because it's a nice building and they don't have anything better to do at 10:15 on a Sunday morning. The truth of the matter is, as the Word of God transforms our lives and people see that truth at work in our hearts and lives, they are going to be drawn to that. It's not the music, it's not the lights, it's not the environment, it's none of those things. It's the truth of God being worked out in our lives. That transforms lives. We are to be sowing seed. Jesus says to his disciples, this is your commission. This is what you are going to be about. This is what you are going to be doing. And the kingdom growth is going to come as the Word of God transforms your lives and you spread more seed. How does Jesus end the parable? He who has ears, let him hear. And this morning, as we walk away from this parable, obviously we're not getting to the other three, but as we walk away from this parable this morning, you who have ears, hear this. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we are his ambassadors to a world that needs to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The simple truth that we are all sinners, that we're all separated from God, that apart from him, we have no good thing, that the wages of sin is death, eternal death, eternal separation from God. People are going to be sent to hell. And we are given the message of the gospel. It's God's responsibility to prepare the soil. It's our responsibility to spread the seed. Are we doing that? Are we doing it? Are we that in tune with our Savior that we are out proclaiming the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? The parable of the sower, we've heard it 100 times. Great flannel graph lessons. Growing up, I remember those specifically. But Jesus is speaking to his disciples, his apostles, those who are all in, And he says, this is what you need to be about. You don't have to worry about the increase. God brings the increase. But what you need to do is be faithful in proclaiming the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The simple truth that Jesus died according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Paul says that's of first importance. Oh, that we might be about that. That we might see God bring the increase. That we might see God do amazing things here at Walnut Ridge because we are submitting to the truth of the gospel and the truth of the commission that God has given us to be sowers of the word. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the privilege that you've given us to come together this morning to open your word, to gather around this table and celebrate the gift of grace that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that as we come, that we might come with clean hands and a pure heart, that we might come to this table with nothing hindering our relationship with you. We love you, Father. We thank you so much for your grace to us. Help us to be about the work that you have called us to do. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.